This is the Last Word FM podcast, powered by Transmission Roundhouse. Poetry has a funny way of finding its way to you. I think a lot of people lose interest in poetry at school, a side effect of a singular type of poetry, maybe, and also dissecting it to death. To be able to rediscover the art in a new and exciting way with wildly talented people is such a blessing. In this episode, Kiari Page speaks with poets Daze Hingorani and Wara Karim from the Roundhouse Poetry Collective. Here's Kiari in conversation with Daze and Wara.
Hey guys, and welcome back. I am Kiari, everyone calls me Ki, and I am a radio presenter, I am an interviewer, I am a podcast creator for Spirit Bound, and hopefully a new podcast coming soon. But today, I am with the Poetry Collective, and I'm super excited because we're going to get real deep, and we're actually going to be very real. That's priority number one. So I have here with me is Daze and Wara. Daze is a career choreographer, she's a poet, and she's super amazing. Not she, they, them, I corrected myself. And born and raised in London, Roundhouse artist resident, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you also are with Sailors Wells and have performed with Dawson Superstore to Riverside Studios. That's like, that's the line. Like, you went from Dawson to Riverside, or did you do it in between?
I mean, not in the same night, but like, that's kind of like the vibes that we're working with. We're doing like queer clubs, and we're also doing like a real like traditional stage.
Okay, snaps. Like, but also with their work, I'm going to keep correcting myself, is about nostalgia, grief, loss, and we're going to get into that. And we have Wara, who is an Irish poet, explores mundane life within the surreal reality of marginalization. They believe in healing themselves and also for others, and works in immersive and seeks and resonates with neurodivergent experiences through the use of language. And lastly, I know it's a lot, but stay with me, is honoring their history and connects it to future queer Africans. So really great stuff here today, and I really want to kick off with this conversation with something a little lighthearted before we get into the real deeps. So I would like to ask both of you guys, what do you guys think about doing a one-line poem?
Oh, okay.
Let's do that.
Okay, so I will give you guys a word, and then you guys can come up with whatever floats your boat. So the word is finale.
I feel like we've got to do like a good representation of the collective here.
Because I'm just thinking about Eminem type lines. Finale. Oh my, finale, you know? No, let me think.
One line. It's the grand finale. Everyone, please take a bow.
Every day is my finale. When will we begin?
Ooh.
Incredible.
Now I actually want to know, when will we begin? Alrighty. So can you guys tell us a little bit about your work, and what do you expect people to resonate with the most when they listen to you guys perform?
I think, as you said, like, I do a lot of stuff about like queerness and like your experiences of self and grief, and I think that's like a massive thing in sort of like when you live queerly, you're always experiencing deaths and rebirths of yourself, which I think is a really lovely thing. And obviously, like, grief is a hard thing. We lose stuff, and you don't want to, like, you cared about it for a reason, but also I want, hopefully, people to resonate with the joy of grief. Mm-hmm. I think that's such a wonderful thing that you get to experience, caring about something so much that you feel upset when you lose it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What was the question again? I was just lost in what you were saying. That was really good stuff.
No worries. It was just simply me asking, but what do you want people to resonate the most when it comes to listening to your work? or reading it?
I think for me it's like a sense of unsettlement, because I feel like surrealism is all about understanding that, like, okay, the world that we live in doesn't necessarily make sense, but we still live in it irrespective of that. So it's like a feeling of matching the feeling of inside to the outside, where it's like, yeah, everything that I navigate as like a queer African person can be really, really like just cogs moving in a really weird way. But when I write poetry in a surreal way, it helps me match like feeling to reality. And I hope that it does that for other people. So like, you know, folks don't feel dissociated from the state of things.
Mm-hmm. That was gorgeous. Being queer is quite tough, like, in society today. Mm-hmm. Like, we still face a lot of pushback from society when it comes to it. So thank you so much for being brave, to just being out and open, like, I identify as this. And also being brave enough to correct people about it. How do you guys tap into that? Because you guys are already being vulnerable on stage, but then it's like it's extra vulnerable for you guys to perform that and to really speak into that. How do you actually decompress from it when it's all said and done? Or do you just keep going and going and going?
I think that a big part of being able to decompress is what makes it easier to be vulnerable, is like if you build community around you, and if you get to choose the spaces that you're in and the people that you bring into them and what, like, who you're sharing with them, I think that makes it a revitalizing experience rather than just like you're like giving and giving and giving. Like, I don't know if you feel that, but like,
I definitely agree. Yeah, I definitely agree. Where it's like, even, it really depends on the crowd and the audience, and I'm really grateful for Roundhouse for like curating a really, just a really genuine audience and community around like the institution. So when I perform, I don't feel like I'm performing into a vacuum. It feels like people are actually taking in what I'm saying, and like they're being able to like take that knowledge and take it into their daily lives, or take that piece of like my own experience or like anyone else's experience. But I also wanted to mention that, like, when it comes to, like, layers upon layers, whenever you perform as a queer artist, I feel like it's a similar thing of, like, as an African person, I don't feel the need to, like, necessarily be, like, in my poems, like, today I'm African, today I'm queer, today I'm going to the shop, and you know what I mean? It's, like, I think it just shows in the ways that, like, the poem is written, or it shows in the way that, like, I perform it. Like, I think I'm a really big lover of show, not tell, but in a way where it's, like, I don't have to do too much. You just know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do you guys feel the need to, like, have to be open because you guys are performers, essentially? Do you guys feel the pressure of, like, now with society of coming up being like, I am this, so they can like brand you? Or do you feel empowered to be like, you know what, I am me, like, and you can back off?
I feel like that's an inherent part of being an artist, like just having to be vulnerable, irrespective. Like, I feel like if I was to put a wall or a slight barrier between myself and like people that are listening to me, like, no one would receive it in the way that I want people to. So I just have to do that extra work, or, like, do the extra step of, like, yeah, I'm just going to be my bare, raw self, you know?
Yeah. And, I love being vulnerable. Like, yeah. I wouldn't be an artist if I didn't enjoy it. Like, I think if you've grown up taking solace in art and things, and, like, and taking solace in other people being so sort of, like, genuine and upfront about themselves, it's so encouraging then to be able to grow up and start engaging with art in the way that, you know, you do as like a maker. And I'm like, no, this is great. This is so much fun. Mm-hmm. I love just sort of like spilling out like my diary to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you, Dace. Mm-hmm. And it's about being a choreographer, but also being a poet. How did these two worlds merge into one?
That's a great question. I think for me, I realized a couple years ago that all of like the choreography that I made came from writing.
Okay.
Like I didn't, which felt sort of like against like the idea of choreographing, but I never started in a studio by moving. I was like, I want to sit down. I want to read through my journal. I want to read other people's work. And that was how I worked with dancers. And I realized, I was like, oh, okay. Then also I should probably look into like poetry as a format itself, like as its own, like in its own right. Mm. And I think there's a lot of crossover of, in my work, I want to make things as accessible as possible to people. I know that even I trained as a dancer, I've spent years making, and I still go and watch dance pieces and think, huh? What? So I think a lot of my work tries to look at, like, yes, it's an incredible art form in its own right, but how can you get people to engage with it? Like, and for me, I was like, I engage with stuff way more if I get to read it, if I get to hear it. So I think things like that is where, like, I really enjoy blurring the boundaries of the two things, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to tell you something, like, whatever that might be. If I'm making something, I'm trying to tell you something, and I want you to hear it in whatever way makes most sense to you.
Mm. In Wira, I went to really talk about intersectionality a little bit, because you are Irish, African, queer, and you are also sharing experiences with people through your poetry about neurodivergency. And I just want you to highlight, how do you face the world, or when you introduce yourself, how does that work for you? Or do you just say, here's my name, and you don't go into the details? Like, how do you present yourself?
Mm. I think in terms of like artistry, I just like show up, and like, I think before, when I was like earlier in this journey, I used to do more work into like trying to convince people, or like trying to steer people in a way of like, yeah, this is who I am. Like, guys, like don't think of me in this way, think of me in that way. But it's like, I think ultimately people will perceive you how they want to perceive you. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really do anything about folks' projections on you. You just have to like navigate in a way that's like true to you. So I think that like writing really does help me like remind myself of why I do what I do, why I navigate the way that I navigate, because I think ultimately it would be easier to like, you know, navigate as like a cishet person with like, you know, blase blaza. But I feel like, yeah,
I think also like that thing of like, yeah, it might technically be easier to navigate in that way, but also then like, what's the point?
Because I would just die inside.
Exactly.
Like, I would not, like, I would lack a soul. But
but do you guys feel like you give away your soul sometimes too much when you are into your art?
I don't think so. I heard a really interesting podcast with the writer Otessa Moshweg recently. And she was talking about, she was like, I'm a tortured person, not a tortured artist. And I thought that was a really useful distinction, that this idea that you don't actually have to suffer for your art. Mm-hmm. Like, you can suffer in yourself, like, who doesn't? And you can translate that into your art, but the art itself doesn't require that. It doesn't require you to lie bleeding on the bathroom floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like in Western society, a lot of the time we may see art as like separate from like living. Mm-hmm. But I feel like one thing that really does help me like strip away the fears of like, okay, I need to be this kind of artist, is just understanding that like I'm living, and that's enough of an artistry. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't really have to like try too hard, because I'm just here, really. I'm just chilling, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
You know what I mean? Bros.
Yeah, but when it comes to grief in days like this, is more of your remit, is that you talk about grief as a celebration. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that idea? Because a lot of times we think of grief as like loss, terrible, you know, it's tough to get out of it. So how do you translate that celebration aspect of it?
I think to me, and to a lot of people, grief, more than anything, is a really visceral experience. Mm. And I think that's why I want to dance about it and write about it and talk about it all the time, because yes, of course, like, at all extremes of emotion, that's overwhelm. Like, I think when you get to a point of, you might be sobbing on the floor crying about loss or whatever it might be, but also, like, at a certain point, that feels the same as when you lose your breath from laughing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, for me, where I try and, like, reconcile the difficulty of grief. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm more interested in looking at it, I think, from an artistic perspective.
And then with Rura, how can we heal from your pieces of art?
Mm-hmm. I think just, like, the first thing that comes to my mind is just try and pay attention. Like, just try and, like, match experience to words. Mm-hmm. There's something to learn in everything. And I feel like it's not that my poetry or my art is specifically, like, to like, soothe the masses, but it's to offer a perspective that I feel like may not always be uplifted or seen as, like, very important. So I think, yeah. Also, I feel like I really resonate with what you were saying about, like, grief being a really visceral part of our lives. Like, I feel like, obviously, to live, you have to die, and to die, mm-hmm. you have to live. So I feel like constantly understanding that, like, death always surrounds us, but not letting it consume you is something mm-hmm. that I find to be really beautiful about your mm-hmm. work as well.
Yeah. I was also just thinking as you were speaking that, like, having read a lot of your poetry, you do that, like, 100%. Like, you are achieving your aims.
Oh. Oh. Wow. So when it comes to about, like, getting out of that grief and, like, healing yourself, like, have you guys had, like, an experience with, like, maybe one piece of art, one poem that you guys have written that it turned into, you really, like, felt like you were dying inside because you were pouring so much into that piece of poem? Or do you just keep that boundary of, like, you know, this is art, I don't have to go there? Because sometimes with performers, I can even use myself as an example, that you get so into it and you come with these emotions. It may not be from experience, but it certainly is from, like, the moment that you're performing and you're getting into that headspace of the person that you're portraying. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you may break down and cry. Have you experience those types of moments where it just kind of took over and you just wasn't trying to let it take over?
I think sometimes, like, at home, yeah, like, mm-hmm. I think sometimes the process of writing or, like, prepping for performance, like reading stuff, it can feel much more emotional. Like, I have a poem that I wrote about my friend that recently passed away last year, and, like, whenever I read that at home, I'm like, oh fuck, sorry for swearing. Like, oh, that really hits, and, like, that feels, like, so, like, close to me. But there is a level of, like, getting up on stage where, and sort of, like, sharing it with other people, that it stops being about me, mm-hmm. and it stops being about my experiences. It's about, like, okay, what am I sharing with you? Like, mm-hmm. It's a communal experience rather than just, like, me getting involved in, like, my own head, I think.
Yeah, it's not like you're on stage, like, oh my God, what was me? It's just, like, you're understanding that these experiences are universal, mm-hmm. and that's what makes them beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the understanding that, like, yeah, this can come from a really personal place. This can come from, like, a really, like, deep, twisted place. But at the end of the day, we're all experiencing similar things. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a lot of comfort in that, even though people may not act like grief is in our daily lives, it consistently follows mm-hmm. us. They may not act like pain or shame or any of these, like, difficult emotions to go through and not in our daily lives, but they are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like being able to, like, openly share them on a stage makes it more okay for, like, folks to just, like, explore it in a less, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's almost, like, in the nicest way possible. Like, you're not special.
Yeah,
like, yeah, like, it's great to be someone that tries to sort of, like, articulate this stuff through art, but also, mm-hmm. like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, like, just like you say, like, everyone is experiencing it in some format or another. Mm. Mm-hmm. And me getting to stand on a stage and talk about it or make a dance about it doesn't mean that, like, I feel it any more than someone else does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's not like you've been elected by, like, the Grand Council of Grief.
To, I,
like,
mean, speak. I was, but oh, maybe.
You need to hook me up with them.
No, I agree completely.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like choreography, and I want to get to more of the uplifting side of things, mm-hmm. is like you guys both use music mm-hmm. to like influence your art in a way. And for me, just looking through, like just scrolling, like music is a very like universal language. Mm-hmm. How do you allow music to navigate that through your art and through what you do, maybe not even through art, but just in the community?
Mm. In terms of like from a making perspective, I get to work a lot with my brother because he's like a musician and like a producer and stuff. So getting to go to somebody and be like, I have like these 17 different thoughts and none of them make sense and I don't know really what I'm talking about. No, I don't have a time frame or money. Can you do something with that? Mm-hmm. And then to have someone turn around and like bring their own like artistic influences is mad. It's like my favorite thing in the world to get to watch him work and to like sort of like collaborate on that. But also just like if I want to write a poem, I will just stick a sad song on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real. Just stick some Mitski on. But I feel like collaborating is a more enjoyable part of it for me because mm. I do music and I do a bit of instrumentals like here and there. But I feel like with the kind of poetry that I do, I feel like I really do need to collaborate with a lot of people. Mm. And like, I don't know, I feel like understanding fully how sound comes into my art is still something that I'm trying to learn. But I'm really happy like about the fact that these mediums like music and poetry are so easily mergeable and like even not in the way that it has to be a song, mm-hmm. but in the way where it's just like two mediums coming together mm-hmm. for whatever purpose. But yeah, I really like to immerse people with sound mm-hmm. and like kind of like add an extra dimension of like sensory stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to really ground people in what you're saying and create a universe around that.
I was going to say you get to like you bring people into the world that you're creating in your head mm. and that's just an extra layer to be like here you go like
yeah very much so in. It's like another wall in your house
exactly yeah. Yeah. Also like on like collaboration and stuff I feel like writing can be such a like isolating process because mm. Like at the end of the day yeah you do have to like sit alone in your room and go like okay where am I taking out the ants and like mm-hmm. all that but getting to work with other people makes it so worth it.
Yeah, genuinely. I love writing joint poems. It's one of my favorite mm-hmm. things. Like, one person does a line, I do another line. You know what I mean? It's like we're creating another universe. But yeah, poetry does kind of feel like sometimes isolating because it's just you, your mind, your paper, your notes app, and mm-hmm. do what you will. Like, but I think performing is the part where it becomes a lot more democratic or like a lot more like community-oriented and things like that, which is why I feel like I write to perform. I don't necessarily write to read. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how has like the Roundhouse in your experiences of being a part of the Roundhouse Project Collective in any other endeavors that you guys can share with the Roundhouse has supported you in that journey of really just becoming a better version of you? Because mm-hmm. it seems like with your poetry that you guys are just building a better version of yourself and in turn it influences other people or you hope it resonates with like just aspects of life that doesn't get talked about much or if it gets talked about, it gets talked about in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Roundhouse has been so important to me like as an artist and stuff. Like I competed in the Poetry Slam last year and I managed to come second. I think it was my fourth time performing poetry, mm-hmm. like in public. And literally like from that moment, like from being in the heat and the slam, I was just like the community of the Roundhouse is so like palpable. I was like, I've not come across one person in this building or in this network that has been like even vaguely not cool to be around. Mm-hmm. So then like I joined the Poetry Collective off of the back of that. And again, just like getting to spend a year in a community with, how many of them are there?
Like 14, I think.
Like 14, yeah, like 14 just incredible poets and artists. Yeah. I was like, this is incredible, like, mm-hmm. Sensational. yeah, it's just been a year of like getting to have accountability and to like grow your like perspective on like what can poetry be, because everyone in that room is pushing the boundaries of like what am I talking about and how can I talk about it. And that's been, I think, the most important thing to me.
Yeah. I feel like for me, it's just like, I'm almost getting teary-eyed thinking about it, genuinely. Because I'm like, guys, it's actually a collective, I won't lie. Like, it's really lovely how, like, throughout the journey, we've become so much more comfortable with, like, critiquing our own work and, like, being a lot more upfront with each other for, like, the sake of each other's growth. And, like, honestly, the amount that I've learned from being in this collective is something that I don't know if I would have learned if I was outside of it and I was going through the motions of learning poetry by myself. Because I think as a neurodivergent person, I also like centralized learning. So I like coming to class every week and, you know, I like having my routine, I like doing the things. But I think with the collective, like being able to see familiar faces, being able to like learn about form, because before I literally used to like hate form. I used to hate like writing, writing in like a way on the page where it's like this means that and that means this. But like from listening to other people's work and like reading other people's work in my collective, it's like I've grown a deep appreciation for it, and I feel like it's bringing me from more of an in between from like purely performance to like writing and also performance, you know. But yeah, I'm really grateful for the Runhouse Collective and the people in it.
So I have a serious question. So you used to hate forum, but I now are you like yay forum, or is it just like we're in the mix?
Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's I'm excited whenever I think about people's like form in their work now. Like one of my poetry like colleagues, their name is like Sia, right? And I love the way that they put stuff on a page. And I feel like whenever I see people's work on the page now, it makes my like cogs turn. It makes me be like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? I'm jumping from one part of the page to the next. Like it's playing with my mind. But before I used to be like,
That's so true. I feel like a part of like my defense mechanism of like, I don't know if I'm good enough at poetry to like do this. I don't know if I know enough about it was to be like, well, that's because I don't like it, so it's fine. I was so similar. I was like, no, I don't like form because I like can't count syllables for a haiku to save my life.
Yeah, genuinely. But
being around people that are it sounds stupid, but that are good at it and also still fun. Like, it's not school.
Like, yeah, it's not like Shakespeare or anything like that. Like,
that's made me so much more open to it.
Yeah, no shade to Shakespeare, though. We love iambic pentameter.
Do we? But,
no,
I do.
Yeah. But I do find, like, form really interesting now. And I feel like before I see it, something so limiting, it's like, why won't you let my mind be free? But now it's like it's another way to let it be free, you know.
Well, that's like like having parameters and like constrictions on your work, so that you can actively break them. I feel like that's been like the most like reoccurring lesson throughout the collective. With Cecilio especially, who's the tutor and an incredible poet.
Bless her.
Love of my life, potentially.
She's so lovely.
Has been like, yes, I'm teaching all of this stuff to you so that you can break out from it. And that's been such a like change in perspective as well.
Yeah.
So really like so during your guys' time at the during the collective and even now, because I know you guys are still in it, is just simply what was your style when you entered the collective and where is it now?
Good question.
I think my style when I entered was rambly. I had 17 different ways to say one thing. And I feel like now we're not quite there yet, but I'm getting closer to like actually being like concise.
That's
like,
me in corporate world. Shout out corporate.
But like you were saying about like getting really comfortable with like critiquing your work and other people's is like, I feel like my biggest development has been learning to like kill my darlings.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. In terms of when I came into the collective, I feel like I had a very like like, oh yeah, very much like ideas everywhere, but like it doesn't really follow a sense of logic. I didn't really have much of, do you know what, let me not downplay myself. I had logic to my poems. I had logic to my poems, but it just wasn't as developed as it is now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like...
Also, like, have it, like, I have logic in my head. That doesn't mean it makes sense to anyone else.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like being able to like have that like audience artist transparency. Mm-hmm. Like also not over editing myself. Like I feel like before maybe I used to like maybe over explain myself and be like, the elephant is in the room. He is in the head. But I feel like now it's like, okay, something's in the room. Uh-huh. What is it? You know?
That's so true.
It's like being able to leave like ambiguity there for like mm-hmm. people to like understand. I feel like that's something that I've really learned from the collective and is a difference in my work.
Mm-hmm. So does the collective like collaborate with each other or how does it, like have you guys collaborated with each other?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I've performed at their screening for one of their films and I feel like that was like a collaboration in a sense.
Yeah, 100%. Even like because of the collective, like I asked Wura to like, I run like a scratch night event called Choked Up and I asked Wura to come perform at the first one. But even just on that, like because you're an artist that I know and have a lot of respect for, we had a little conversation about like, what's the vibe and like what, like you were asking me like what can I bring to like add to like the atmosphere that you want to set up and I feel like that kind of thing is like so special but you don't often get in like gigs and stuff.
Yeah, it's very much like I understand that this is a space that you're curating and it comes from ideas, it comes from experience and it's like I have my own practices so what am I gonna bring when I go into this. But yeah, I think the collaborating with people in the collective is something I'm really excited to do. I feel like at first, like for the first like couple months of the collective, I was mostly just like in my head and being like, okay, this is what I need to do the poetry. Da, da, da. Like in the past like 2 months, I'd say I've been so much more like thinking about other people's practices and like how they write, what they write, and like I feel like I'm a lot more ready to collaborate with like other artists in the collective now. Like I'm excited to do that.
Yeah. Especially when you have like an imminent ending. I'm like, no, wait, no. I've like realized exactly how much like I value all of you and I'm like, no, can we hang out?
It's like I'm grieving again.
Yeah, not again.
Do you know what I mean?
So like when does the poetry collective end for you?
So we have our final sharing next Tuesday on the 18th here at the Roundhouse in the Studio Theatre. But I think we finish properly 13th of July.
Yeah, yeah. I never really check the calendar like that because I just try to keep it spontaneous. But I do, I think it's coming up soon and I'm very sad for it to end.
Me too.
Very, very sad.
It seems like you guys had an amazing year, but outside of Roundhouse, what is like upcoming projects that you guys are working on?
So I just recently finished a dance film about shock horror, queerness and grief, which is which is available to view on my Instagram at Days Hungarani. But I'm actually from the collective, I'm running my first poetry workshop next week, Thursday 20th at Riverside Studios. It's called Everything's a Poem If You Like It. But yeah,
that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I love people being able to share the knowledge that they've like learned from a collective and also just curate like really beautiful spaces around that. I think I'm doing like a similar thing in terms of like there's this collective that I help facilitate and it's called Tribe, and on the 20th we have like a queer chess night like jam going on and it's in Common Press. So Common Press is like, it's like a queer bookshop in like Shoreditch. So yeah, come through if you want to learn how to play chess or if you want to jam or if you want to meet new people who like are just there to like intellectually stimulate themselves.
I'll be there.
Yeah, you need to be front and center.
You can't play chess, but that's, I'll be there.
You can teach.
Yeah, and Wura, with your music collective, like how can people join the music collective that with Tribe?
I mean, you can check out the Instagram as Tribe_Incorporated. And we basically just try and like, I don't know, it's hard to describe. Try and integrate different communities into a space for the love of music, but also centering like black POC and queer folks in the mm-hmm. room to understand that, like, yeah, your perspective is very much important. And, like, because I find that a lot of the time in London, it's like either you have a queer space or you have, like, a black space mm-hmm. or things like that. And it's like being able to have, like, people from different walks of life be in the same room, but not in, like, a we are the world way, but in a way of, like, guys, like, you know, we... We're just, like, coexisting, and we love the art, but we also acknowledge there are different, you know, levels of discrimination.
You know, you just made me think of Michael Jackson, and when, like, all the artists, like, came together and was, like, doing that big song.
No. And there's that one guy belting, like, oh, calm down.
I know that's not what you meant, but then my mind went directly there, so.
Yeah, that's basically the idea. Like, Michael Jackson.
Yep, so it seems like you guys... are really, like, collaborative and really are looking forward to future collaborations and just really growing in your field. And my question is that what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out, that's just figuring out if they are a poet, or if they are a choreographer, if they are a presenter, like, whatever, like, what advice would you give them to kind of do it?
Don't shut up about it. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the main thing. Like, it's so easy, especially with something like poetry, to be like, oh, that's a bit cringy. Mm. It's like, yeah, it is. And that's great. Like, that's mm-hmm. That's its best quality.
Because it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
Vulnerable, cringy, what's the uh-huh. difference?
Yeah. So, like, just start saying that you are one, and then yeah. and then you'll eventually work out, like, how to be one.
Very much so. I feel like being able to hold yourself accountable by saying it out mm-hmm. loud, do you know what I mean? It's like, this is the reality, like, I have to act accordingly. But I feel like for me, it's be collaborative with people at the same level as you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't try, I used to DM, like, the hugest poets, be like, oh my God, I love your work, like, oh my God, poetry. But now it's like, there's so many poets around you in your daily life, there's so many mm-hmm. artists around you that... you should, like, be interested in. You should mm-hmm. build each other up. Like, I feel like collectives are a great way to grow your field, grow your art, because you're accountable to each other's art and mm-hmm. accountable to each other's progress. So I think that just try collaborate with, like, friends, even if your friend doesn't really write poetry, if your friend doesn't really sing, like, just, like, have a makeshift jam, like, anything. Mm-hmm.
If you like invest in the people around you, they'll probably invest back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. most definitely.
Okay, well, before I sign you guys off, I want to do one last one-line poem. One line. I actually want you guys to make a poem on the spot together.
Okay.
And I want you guys to combine, you know, grief, healing, ooh, marginalized, intersectionality. I really want you guys to go there,
okay,
and we can celebrate afterwards or cry, whatever it leads us to.
Okay. Is there a prompt?
The prompt is, I don't know where to go from here.
Okay.
You want to go line by line?
Yeah, let's go line by line. Okay. I don't know where to go from here. I wade through the waters. It looks like fear.
Oh, you went for a rhyme.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You're incredible.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, that's not in the poem. I was standing at the lakeside, and I saw you stood right next to me.
Through the reflection of the water, I ask for healing.
Some people think that staring at your own reflection is narcissistic, but how else am I supposed to see you?
How else am I supposed to feel?
When I'm feeling so blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys want to keep
blues
going?
Who am I going to choose? Anyway,
who can beatbox here?
We got Daze on the mic. Hey, hey.
Daze is immediately coming off the mic.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me and joining TR and sharing your work. It's been great to have this real conversation with you guys, and I hope you guys enjoyed. And
thanks so much.
Thanks.
If you want to learn more about the Roundhouse Poetry Collective, you can visit roundhouse.org.uk. Kiari Page is a podcast producer and Transmission Roundhouse alumni. The Last Word FM is powered by Transmission Roundhouse and part of the Last Word Festival program at the Roundhouse.